Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, May 13th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
And to you. And today we have Wendy Wilson joining us for this first segment of the program. But first, let's go ahead and see what those old precious metals did today. Gold was had a pretty nice day today, up 1680. 1680 for gold, 1719. Silver day was up 18 pennies at 1571. Platinum was up $3 at 767. And palladium was down 28 at 1898. You have the USDX today trading stronger, 0.22 at 100.22. And crude oil was down 33.33 at 25.45. We had another negative day in the stock market today. You have the Dow down 500 points. I think it was down 600 points earlier in the day, 23,264. The NASDAQ down 139 at 8,863. And the S&P was down 50, 2,820. So the Dow was down a little bit over 2.17% to be exact, and the NASDAQ was down 1.55%, and the S&P was down 1.75%. 10-year yield, it's just hanging right into that level of 0.65%. And pressure on the euro today, that was down to 108. European markets were down big. Germany was down a little over 2.5%. I mean, there's London, I mean, they're still not at their lows. London was down 1.5%. And so good day for gold today. And we'll have to see how this continues, and we'll be talking about how does this continue. But first, it's Wednesday, and we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. And I want to welcome her to the program. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hi, Dave. Dave's there, right?
Hola, señorita.
Hola, hola, hola. Woohoo. I got my caracas going. All right, we're going to talk about people lying to doctors. Do you do that? Do you all do that? Most people do.
Do you?
Absolutely, all the time, every day. Actually, there's been reports that healthcare workers are kind of frustrated because, you know, patients don't always, you know, they're not honest with them. So especially now with this pandemic of COVID-19, and eventually, you know, we've heard from Johan Gazik, epidemiologist, who says he's Swedish. He says most people have this virus in their system. And also other molecule biologists have said, well, what they do with the flu shots every year, they culture the pathogen on dog kidneys, and dogs have coronavirus, COVID-19. So that's why most millions of people, Gazik says, has this virus already. Think about that. So most people aren't really telling their doctors everything, and they're kind of frustrated, and they're not getting accurate data and guidelines now also on the COVID-19, according to physicians. So the treatment protocols are off, and so there's really no transparency anymore there, and there's a lot of frustration. And of course, doctors are really livid on the propaganda they're being sent, and it's ushering in a lot of changes. And these changes may be difficult to reverse. So people are less confident in the healthcare system, and many are avoiding the doctor, and they don't disclose everything. So the university survey is really important. I think it's funny because, I see the humor, and I used to work in healthcare. So the November 2018 survey that was done by the University of Utah Health Center, they conducted a survey with regard to patient honesty. And, you know, their doctors, you know, are said, you know, patients aren't honest with them, and they're complaining because if the patients aren't honest, you know, their health plans are off, and it could negatively impact their outcome. So doctors are reporting their patients often not honest with things like their lifestyle. So, for example, patients may downplay their addictions or the number of cigarettes they really smoke or the number of alcoholic beverages they consume. So doctors are also complaining patients lie about how much they exercise. And there's a number of reasons why patients may want to lie to their physicians, not wanting them to know everything about their lives. So the Utah survey wanted to find out what are some of the major reasons patients aren't forthcoming with honesty. So what do you suppose the number one reason was, Mel? What do you think?
I can't even... Because they can?
Well, what's one of the things that you want to maybe not tell your doctor about? You know, you may be embarrassed about something, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the number one reason, according to this survey, was patients did not want their doctor judging their life. The other reasons were patients don't want to be lectured about their habits and their lifestyle. The other reason was 50% of the surveyed recipients said they were embarrassed to tell the truth. Also, patients listed they want their doctor to think highly of them. And also, lastly, patients don't like being pigeonholed as someone not making good life choices. Well, that's important, too. So these are all understandable reasons. And, you know, I once knew a lady, Melanie and Dave, that had less than perfect oral health. And on top of that, when she... was in high school and she had acne, she was giving a tetracycline drug that permanently turned her teeth gray, irreversibly gray. So when she went to her dentist, she was always lectured about how bad her oral health was and how bad her teeth were. So she got kind of tired of hearing that, and she told her dentist, hey, I pay you to clean my teeth and fix the oral health problems, not to lecture me about my lifestyle. But the dentist didn't listen to her. He continued to lecture her, so she got a new dentist. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I also knew someone who went to an ear, nose, and throat, an ENT physician about a chronic ear infection. And get this, the physician, upon examining her oral cavity, you know, open your mouth, I want to look in there, began to give her a detailed report of what he saw looking in her mouth. Now, I'm not kidding you. Wait a minute. Well, let's say you're in there for an ear infection, they're in your mouth, and he goes something like this. He described that she had anxiety due to her teeth grinding. It was evident. He said, you are a late night snacker due to the dental plaque I see. And he went on and on like that, right? So this woman felt offended from being profiled. Her personal life was being profiled with him just being in there. It's like a forensic exam. So more patients than we care to know had similar encounters. And according to Angela Faraglin, she's a physician at University of Utah Health Center, she says, quote, patients may not be the only ones to blame because, she says, how healthcare providers in certain situations, they may cause patients to be hesitant to open up because they feel uncomfortable. Well, yeah. How about this one, Melody? A coworker of mine at the hospital went to a gynecologist. This is kind of creepy. Who insisted she keep her high heels on while she was in the stirrups.
Okay, were we...
Yeah.
That's creepy.
That is creepy. Well, so you're not feeling comfortable with that. Also, University of Health Center also said, now their survey wound up in the Journal of the American Medical Association, that said when a doctor asks how often you exercise or what you've been eating lately, and if you have stretch the truth, hey, you're not alone, end of quote. So a lot of people do that. So the average age of these survey respondents were between the ages of 36 and 61. And according to, this was an online national survey at the University of Utah, they said 60 to 80% of the patients are not entirely honest with their doctors. And this includes information that would make a significant difference with regard to what a physician recommends for care. So what is even more revealing and somewhat concerning is that patients who lie to their doctors don't say anything to them when they don't agree or don't understand the treatment plan he's given them. They kind of just don't say anything. So in a large segment of those that were surveyed, they responded that they really didn't understand the treatment plan, but they also didn't want to appear ignorant. So with regard to the female patients in the survey...
So why go to the doctor?
I know. Well, according to the female patients in the survey, they said they thought of themselves as younger than their chronological age, and they were more likely to not disclose relevant medical history, not only to their physician, but also to family members. And this is an interesting quote by another doctor in the study, Andrea Kumankin. She's out of Connecticut, but she was involved in the survey. She said, I'm surprised that such a substantial number of people who choose to withhold benign information and that they would admit to it. We also have to consider an interesting limitation that survey participants may have withheld information about what they withheld, which would mean that our study was underestimated how prevalent this phenomenon is. Yeah, I mean, they're probably lying on the survey, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, here's some other reasons why we made a look at the big picture here. Why people may not be forthcoming. Because Dr. Levy pointed out a really, or Dr. Kamukin Levy, she pointed out a very interesting reason why people withhold information. And it may be not for just embarrassment's sake, okay? Healthcare sector has really become more entangled with other facets of our lives and society. And it's more influential now, right? I mean, look at this COVID-19 thing, right? It's affecting mm-hmm. everything. So, you know, so I think a lot of people, when they go to the doctor, they're also processing where this health information may end up. Okay? So it may affect employment opportunities. It may impact life insurance benefits. It may impact health insurance premiums. It may, because they have to report this to your insurance company, everything on your form. Everything. So also it may impact personal relationships as well as maybe your right to bear arms. If your doctor determines you're depressed, you may not be able to have a mm-hmm. permit. And it may impact other privileges that we they're supposed to be rights, but you know the government calls them privileges now. So our COVID-19 healthcare scare has really also been prompting discussions with regard to some permanent changes to things like education. If you heard Governor Cuomo in New York, he's thinking, why do we need school buildings? We got technologies. The kids can just stay at home, which is crazy because if you have elementary school and teenagers, do you want to leave them home alone and go to work? What do you do with that? Really? Also, it's impacting work environments, travel, lots of social life issues in general. My daughter just pulled up a resort at Myrtle Beach to see if the beach was open and if you were able to book a weekend trip, and they have social distancing at the beach too.
Mm-hmm, so they do.
Yeah. So when people, let's just say, when people are not legislators or Congress and they're allowed to tell people who is essential and who's not and how they can social distance, you know, we're in trouble because your healthcare sector is being leveraged, making us more vulnerable to abuses. And you wonder why patients lie to their doctors? Seriously, that's the least of our problems, I think. So people should take good care of themselves. And by the way, there was this study in 2019 by the U.S. Air Force. This was Armed Forces Health Surveillance Branch of the Air Force. They had a report titled Influenza Vaccination and Respiratory Virus Interference Among Department of Defense Personnel. And so what they determine is you get the flu shot every year, you're 36% more likely to get a respiratory infection or the flu, okay? And they're getting inoculated with coronavirus because they're culturing these diseases on dog kidneys, and canines have coronavirus. Does this make sense to anybody?
I think, well, what we're learning is there's very little sense in a lot of this.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, where is common sense? That's what I keep asking, because I think we just really are going to have to look out for ourselves on, I mean, there's going to be emergencies and trauma emergencies, of course, but, you know, try to take care of yourself and preserve your health and your organ function so you don't have to go see the white coats, because you may not like the treatment plan, you may not understand the treatment plan, and you may not like the outcomes of the treatment plan. So emergencies aside, you know, we can learn to engage with some natural healing techniques that really can preserve us, really.
Well, I think the medical field, I mean, I can remember my grandparents. I mean, the doctors back then, you knew them.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you did follow them. You did what they told you to do, and things have changed so
yes.
much.
Well, you had a rapport with your doctor. Mm-hmm. Now it's mm-hmm. like virtual visit. What the heck's that, right?
Yeah.
You don't even see, they don't even see you. They don't even touch you. They just, you know, on the screen, oh, yeah, open your mouth, say, yeah, tone's coded, here's a prescription. What's it, you know, how are you supposed to trust that in its entirety? I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, Melanie. Maybe I'm just, you know.
Well, I just think, you know, our whole healthcare system is pretty much at the breaking point. And it's...
Well, what's your impression of the COVID vaccine they're pushing? And do you know why Fauci's pushing it?
I mean, yeah, I know all the details, and I know all the relationships and all of that. And,
okay.
You know, I mean, it should still be anyone's choice if they want it or not.
Right. Well, Fauci stands to gain billions or trillions of dollars because he owns the patent on it.
Yep. So, yeah.
Or this particular one, anyway. There's several different vaccines in the works, but he owns one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so,
terrible.
I mean, yes, there's this big rush, and you know, I it's all about the money. Follow the money.
Oh, yeah. Money answers all things, and that's what the Bible says. So, you know, people are really astonished that there's another way to prevent disease or even reverse it. It's called medicinal herbs, and it's nutrition and watching your lifestyle. You know, try not to overdo those things that, you know, tend to be toxic to you, like smoking and drinking and things like that. I'm really concerned about the youth of this country doing the vaping. You know, they've replaced cigarettes with this thing, but there's been pulmonology specialists that are worried that there's going to be a whole young generation by the time they're 30 that need lung transplants because a lot of these vapor liquids have glycerin in them. And glycerin, they say, should never enter the lung.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've got some real issues. How did that get passed? How did that get approved, you know, and get by the FDA and all? Well, it's called money. See, that's how that works. But, you know, I think people, if they want to empower themselves, give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. We have a free catalog. It's our 20th anniversary issue. Give us a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And if you've been trying to get through and you got a busy signal, we did have some phone difficulties, but I think they fixed it. So give us a call if you've been trying to get through.
All right.
Anything else you want to ask me?
No, I think you'd always do a great job, and I think you ought to give out any information that, you know, that you'd like to about what you do.
We do specialize in immune boosting, organ cleansing, metabolic strengthening, so people want to be strong and independent, and they want to work on their health and get healthier. I mean, there's millennials saying that. They want to eat and be healthier because they don't feel healthy, and the reason is they're not getting the mineral nutrition. So we've got those, and plus all that other, and we can show you how to do it. So we're all about, you know, empowering our customer.
All right. Well, thank you, Wendy, and we'll be talking to you next week, and be safe.
You too.
And Dave and I will be back right after these messages.
Bye-bye.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And you can listen to this program live at 4 o'clock Eastern Time by the little red bar that's at the top of the page, or you can just listen to the archives. And Dave, I think we are soon to get a brand new website. Correct?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Long in development, be rolled out soon. We'll be talking to you, telling you a lot more about what to expect and new improvements when we know more.
Yes, so I'm all excited about that, and our radio page will be all redesigned. It'll be much easier for you to, you know, follow us from that page and listen to the archives. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully it'll be done in a month. And of course, with everybody being at home, you know, it should be maybe a little quicker. Who knows? But we did have a caller, Bob. I don't know if he's still on the line from Ohio. And no, he's not. So maybe we can catch up with him a little later on. And I just wanted to touch on this. You know, today there was a $138 million government contract that's going to fund production of 500 million pre-filled COVID-19 vaccine injection devices. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, hey, they're putting in $138 million for injection devices, but they couldn't, you know, help with the masks and all that kind of stuff. And seems like they might be a little premature in this anyway. So yeah, when you think the things can't get any stranger, you have these two U.S. government agencies, you know, just adding a little bit more to the strangeness. They just put out the press release, and according to the press release, $138 million contract has been awarded to Apiject Systems America for two projects known as Project Jumpstart and Rapid USA. Apparently, the goal of these projects is to have vast numbers of injection devices ready to go once everything is available. And you can see that it comes from the official website of the Department of Defense. So, you know, it is a little creepy, you know, that they're just getting it all ready even prior to. And again, follow the money, ladies and gentlemen. So, and why so many? 500 million? I don't think we have that many people in the country. maybe they lost count. I don't know. Or maybe it's going to go to someplace else. But I don't know. So, Dave, I thought that was kind of interesting as a follow-through with what Wendy was talking about today. And, of course, going back to some money talk, we have the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell today. He said that policymakers may have to use additional weapons to pull the country out of an economic mire that has cost at least 20 million jobs and a level of pain that is hard to capture in words, he said. Well, he didn't specify what those measures are and, of course, where they would come from. Of course not. Powell said the coronavirus has triggered a situation unlike previous recessions, and it's going to have to be a whole lot more from Congress than the Fed. And you know what, Dave? I was listening to an interview last night on the person they were interviewing. It might have been this morning. And they own seven restaurants in three different states, I believe. And they received money, the PPE money. And I think he said they had 350 employees. Maybe it was more than seven restaurants, but they had like 350 employees. So in order for that PPE to be turned into a grant, he has to hire back those 350 people prior to a certain date. He says, but that doesn't even make sense because we're not allowed to open 100%. So I don't need to hire all those people. So basically what might happen is we might have to hire them all back. And then after all that paperwork gets done, then he's going to have to lay off more. And I'm just thinking, you know, when these government programs that they create, I mean, they just don't even make any sense. There's no thought. They jumble these together. And then you have, you know, Pelosi, who's come out with a $3 trillion, another one. I mean, it's like they're all nuts.
Well, there are clearly some either call them unintended consequences or, as you said, things that events, circumstances that they didn't quite anticipate in putting some of these details together. I mean, the other thing for this restaurateur is that circumstances like, you know, one or more of the states where his restaurants are located not opening in time to meet the PPP deadline for converting it to a grant, I mean, he'll be on the hook to pay a good chunk, if not all of that funding back. So Congress typically makes what they call technical corrections in subsequent pieces of legislation. So perhaps if there's another round of stimulus, they'll be able to fix that, because that just, I mean, it doesn't seem right to be penalized for, you know, not being able to open. I mean, it could be good reasons why they're not opening, but to be unfairly penalized for something out of your control just doesn't seems to run counter to the program's purpose.
Well, in my view, I don't think any of them should be turned into a grant, but that's just me. You know, give them time and allow businesses to come back 100% and so forth, but or allow a portion of it, perhaps. But, you know, these companies getting millions and millions of dollars, I don't think any of them should be turned into a grant. But anyway, that's just my personal opinion, and it's just more of the bailout. Only this time, it seems like the bailout is coming a little bit closer to the ground. You know, it's just not the big banks and the insurance companies and so forth that happened in 2008. And but it's not healthy for this nation. It's not healthy for our economy. It gets us by another day, but the day of reckoning of all that free money. I mean, we have debt too great to be paid. We know that. And that's the bottom line. The day of reckoning will come our way for this, just for what they have created and what they have done. But going back to Powell, he said he noted the unprecedented strength of the fiscal and monetary measures already taken, but stressed the importance of making sure that this deepest slump since the Great Depression didn't get out of control. I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday, where we talked about an article written through a university where, you know, the Fed deals with monetary policy, and what needs to be done is more fiscal policy. And the confusion that so many people have of the differences of the two, Dave. And so this kind of goes along the same way, where Powell is talking about, hey, no, we need some more fiscal responsibility. And I think that's not going to happen. But anyway, the Fed has cut its benchmark rate, of course, we all know, to zero. And I guess President Trump yesterday was talking about negative rates.
Yeah.
What else do you have to say on that, Dave?
Well, speaking of fiscal policy, as you mentioned, the House Democrats did introduce a new $3 trillion relief bill, which will be brought to a vote on Friday. supposedly. Then move on to the Senate, where its fate is a lot less certain. thoughts are that the Republican leadership might not even pass it on for a vote. We'll see. There could be a lot of pressure coming from some very interesting angles, more so than even usual. But perhaps
I heard it was 1,800 plus pages.
Oh yeah, yeah, not brief. Let's put it like that. Now, interestingly, in my book, I mean, Powell again said that the Fed is not considering negative interest rates. His quote was, "Committee's view on negative rates really has not changed. This is not something that we're looking at." Now, you know, coming a couple of days after Labor Department reported that non-farm payrolls fell by over 20 million in April, the department noted that it probably missed millions of unemployed because of issues with gathering the data, namely that so many of those businesses are closed, so it's harder to get responses from some of them. Powell added, "The scope and speed of this downturn are without modern precedent, significantly worse than any recession since WW2. He said the recovery is largely dependent on how long it will take for virus treatments to arise, whether the end of social distancing will spur new outbreaks, and perhaps most importantly, when consumer, especially consumer, but also business confidence will return." Melody.
Well, you know what's interesting is I think it's hard for folks to realize what truly is happening in this economy because, okay, we're all at a stay-at-home order. Yes, that's some of it's being released, but most it's at a stay-at-home. So what do you see? You see the stock market rise. Oh, I can't be all that bad. It must be getting better. Unless you know people, and many families do, they, you know, their sons, their daughters, nieces, nephews, and so forth, maybe are not working and are having hard times. But really, if you're in a place, what do you see? They've taken the pictures away of the lines of every once in a while you'll see it, of the food lines. You hear the encouragement of we need to get back to work. They've taken away the nightly, I don't know if they have, I stopped watching them because I couldn't watch them anymore, the nightly press conferences. So, Dave, do you think is that a way of looking at things that maybe people don't realize just how you don't hear, and because they're also not... During the 2008 crisis, everybody talked about quantitative easing. Everybody talked about all the various programs that were going into the banks and into these multinational corporations and insurance companies. Everybody knew what TARP was. Everybody knew. And now nobody even knows that the Fed is buying corporate debt. So unless you know this stuff, the economy, except for the restaurants and everything being closed, is it more of an inconvenience to people? Or do they really feel and see the impact of what's happening?
Well, there's no question that they see and feel, maybe a little to a lesser extent, but certainly see the uncertainty that's out there. Now, whether they're feeling the brunt of this, I guarantee you a lot of people are, particularly those who haven't received their $1,200 stimulus check yet, or those who've had an nearly impossible time filing for unemployment on their state's online system. But beyond that, And I'm certainly not downplaying that, because those are the folks who are finding it most difficult. I think that I don't know what the right word is to describe it, Melody. I don't think it's actually complacency. But right now, there are a lot of people who have gotten through and have filed and have gotten their stimulus checks, plus that got them through maybe a month's worth of bills, maybe. But now they've applied for and are starting to receive their unemployment on a weekly basis from their state, plus they're getting $600 for 13 weeks, an extra $600 from the federal government. So they might not, those folks may not be feeling the hurt like was perhaps being felt during the Great Recession. I don't know how this all plays out. I mean, I think the uncertainty lies in, as more and more states reopen and more businesses start to call them back, particularly if there's not a treatment or vaccine or other treatment that they can, if they wish to receive it, get it. There could be another round of this.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, who has the money in this country? Retirees, baby boomers, right?
Well,
or is that not true?
Well, I mean, relative to what? I mean, there's a 1%, 1% of the nation. We can expand it to maybe the top 10%. I mean, we pick any number, but that crosses, and the 1% crosses a number of age groups. I mean, they're largely baby boomers, but certainly not all of them. And I'm not even sure a majority of them are retired. But I think I see where you're going.
Yeah, well, you see, I mean, you have $21, $22, $23 trillion sitting in retirement accounts and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking you have these people that stock market is higher, and maybe they just can't relate to what we truly face, face in the near future. But what we do face, Dave, is the break, and we gotta go. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We still can't get a hold of any silver eagles. We do have 1 ounce silver kangaroos, Australian kangaroos. They come in little boxes of 250. So if you're not looking to spend $10,000 for a box of 500, it's nice because the silver eagles, the 1 ounce American silver eagles, they come in boxes of 500. And, you know, some folks don't have the 10,000 plus to buy the box of 500. So you can get the kangaroos. They come in a nice storage box, 250. So it'll help you out in getting that order. But they still are about a 3 week delay. And I was talking to one of my buyers today. And I says, yeah, I says, we're still waiting for the silver. And I says, it really doesn't make any sense. You know, gold's beginning to float around a little bit better. Premiums are still a little, you know, up there. I says, but silver? I said, it really doesn't even make any sense why there's no silver. Not at this point. And he agreed. And so I'd like to think that we were going to see some change in the silver availability soon. We still have 90% silver available. We still have the American peace dollars, the 1920s, the peace dollars. We have Morgan's, too. They're a great buy. The peace dollars are $24 each, and they're beautiful. And let's see, what else, Dave? Gold, we have gold eagles, gold buffaloes, the pre-33 coins. Their premiums are staying kind of strong. They haven't pulled back as much as bullion did in this last little pullback that we saw in gold. So they're still a good buy, the mint state coins, the pre-33. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about those on these programs because they are a good buy, and they do provide a lot of benefits if you buy them correctly. And I'm going to start teaching you how to buy them correctly. So when you're out listening and you're hearing other information on television and you know, on these online programs and everything, you'll have a lot of information and knowledge in order to see where they are maybe misleading other people. Dave, home buyers, are they coming back faster than expected?
Much faster indeed.
Really?
Yeah, some state. Well, that's what we're seeing, according to the numbers, anyway. Buyer demand kept mortgage apps in the positive last week. They're up 0.3% compared with the previous week. Applications to purchase a home rose for the fourth straight week, jumping 11%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Now, they were still 10% lower compared with the same week a year ago. But that annual loss has been shrinking as time goes on. Last week, purchase volume was down 19% annually. 1 month ago, it was down 35%. MBA economist Joel Kahn said, "We expect this positive purchase trend to continue as states gradually loosen social distancing measures and some of this pent-up demand for housing returns," Melody.
Yes, and I don't know if there's any more. Applications to refinance a home loan, they've been falling for four straight weeks and dropped another 3% last week. They're still higher than a year ago when interest rates were nearly a full percentage point higher. And the refinance share of mortgage activity decreased to 67% of total applications from 70% the previous week. You know, Dave, there's a lot of folks now beginning to talk about gold. I'll turn on CNBC now and they'll say, the only thing out there, they'll say, well, what's your recommendation? Gold. Mm-hmm. It's the only real money out there. And that is true. And we've seen the gold futures, they've been behaving a little restless with the market not moving much in either direction. And we've seen gold prices, they've been in a narrow range for nearly a month. The pattern is now forming a wedge formation that should lead to a breakout in the not too distant future. And there's a lot of folks who say this. Now, I'm not a big fan when it comes to patterns and charts and so forth, because when you're in a rigged market, but it will show a trend and so forth, so you can take, you know, some of it to the bank. But everybody, my point is, everybody is talking about it and waiting. Sean Lusk, he's a co-director of commercial hedging with Walsh Trading. He says something big is coming here. He says he doesn't see this being range-bound for much longer. And he's looking in the next couple of weeks. You know, we've seen gold sell off in mid-March with other asset classes. As we saw, investors, you know, were trying to generate cash with the margin calls when the stocks were falling. The June futures bottomed at 1453 an ounce in mid-March. The contract then climbed as high as 1789 on April 14th, then backed off to a low of 1666 on April 21st. Since then, the range has been narrowing, confined to 1676 to 1735 band so far this month. And the range has narrowed even further to 1692 to 1713 just last week. So,
yeah, interesting perspective. Lusk thinks there's a lack of conviction on both sides. He says you see a little bit of profit taking, then we break below 1700, we see some bargain buying come back. And to him, he says that tells him that it's not over yet. You know, there's still a lot of uncertainty in the world. If, you know, economies open up, will they have to shut down again in another couple of months due to another wave of the virus? You know, Lusk said, I think we're pausing and waiting for the next shoe to drop. I think he says before, you know, it's up to the next level, which to him is 1800. He said longer-term structural issues in the economy are not likely to be resolved quickly. Could be an understatement. And that's even if a vaccine for the virus is found. A safe one, I might add. But there's no question the underlying fundamentals for gold are still very bullish. And recent actions by the Fed certainly should help. Quantitative easing in general is bullish for gold. And the Fed has taken that to a whole nother level. And you know, the longer this economic downturn continues, especially as there are millions of more jobless claims added to the rolls, the Fed, I think, is going to feel pressured to move QE even to another level. So, again, Lusk concludes, he says he thinks there's going to be a pronounced move in gold upward in the next couple of weeks for sure.
Well, particularly even if Pelosi doesn't get her $3 trillion spending bill, you know it's going to be $2 trillion. I mean, something will get done because they know they have to. So it depends on how long they can hold off before passing it, but they're going to need it. And again, we're at a place where, you know, Dave, and we need to work on this. Pastor Butch said something to me the other day. He says, you really need to put something together. He says, I get a lot of questions on why do I buy gold? What do I do with it? What happens in the future with it? How do I use it? And what's it for? And you know, sometimes I've been doing this program for so long, I just think everybody knows. They know as much as I do, and you do. And we really should put together something. That's what these programs were about, and maybe we should have a certain segment. It's been a while. We used to do it, and then we kind of got sidetracked from it to where we actually have a segment talking about why you buy gold. Why do you buy gold? It's money.
Sounds good.
Well, why is it money? And how is it recognized? The differences between gold and silver. I get silver is a great buying opportunity with the ratio and everything. But your savings is really in gold. And gold is the money. And so this is things that we can't forget. And you will be able to use your gold in the future. I have so many people who, when they call for gold, they say, I want to buy gold so I can buy something in the future. That's fine. But what you're really doing with your gold is preserving your purchasing power. Well, it doesn't give me anything in return. Does your auto insurance give you anything in return? Only if there is an accident. How many years have you had your home insurance and never used it? Gold is the same way. It's the insurance policy that preserves your wealth. And I think when we look at the times that we face, the amount of money and the debt that we talk about here every single day, that it's too great to be paid, it's going to be defaulted on, assets will adjust accordingly. You will lose. You buy your gold to preserve and protect you against that time. When is that time? Nobody knows. But look how fast our debt has increased. And I'm going to say that it's being spent like a drunken sailor, but I was going to talk about Stan Drunken Miller. How'd you like that segue, Dan?
I like that.
You have hedge fund strategist Dan Drunkenmiller said the risk-reward calculation for equities is the worst he's ever seen in his career, and added that government stimulus programs won't be enough to overcome real-world economic problems. The consensus out there seems to be, don't worry, the Fed has your back. There's only one problem with that. Their analysis says it's not true. He says, while traders think that there's massive liquidity and that the stimulus programs are big enough to solve the problems facing the U.S., the economic effects of the coronavirus are likely to be long-lasting and will lead to a slew of bankruptcies. Now, he prays he's wrong, just like we do, but we know better. He thinks that V-shaped economy is a fantasy. The V-shaped recovery is a fantasy. Drunkenmiller's remarks are among the strongest comments yet by a Wall Street heavyweight, and they also stand in contrast to the optimism that has pushed the S&P 500 index rally almost 30% since March. So, Dave?
Well, you know, the damage spurred the Fed to unveil a raft of emergency lending programs. And again, Congress to unleash almost $3 trillion in stimulus funds and magic money, with possibly up to $3 trillion more just around the corner. Problem is, Drunkenmiller says, those programs aren't likely to spur future economic growth. He said it was basically a combination of transfer payments to individuals, basically paying them more not to work than to work. And in addition to that, it was a bunch of payments to zombie companies to keep them alive. Drunkenmiller says he thinks that the current liquidity will soon shrink as the U.S. Treasury borrowing crowds out the private economy and even overwhelms Fed purchases. We can talk about that particular concept on another program. Drunkenmiller, who's the former chief strategist for political funder George Soros, converted his hedge fund into Duquesne Family Office in 2010. Like other investors and Wall Street executives, Drunkenmiller agrees that the pandemic will likely lead to more regulation and higher taxes. We shall see.
It's interesting that he worked with Soros, just as Jimmy Rogers, and it seems like Drunkenmiller and Jimmy Rogers is kind of on the same wave path as far as, and they come out and talk about what's happening and that this is just a fantasy. The V-shaped recovery is just a fantasy. As Jimmy Rogers, I think Jimmy Rogers split longer ago from him, but it's kind of interesting that they're such big heavyweights in Wall Street. We have about a minute left, and you know, roughly 27 million people have likely lost job-based health coverage. And that's something I don't think anybody thinks about. And this is a new estimate from the Kaiser Family Foundation. Most of these people will be able to sign up for other sources of coverage through the Affordable Act exchanges, but millions are still doomed to be uninsured in the midst of a pandemic. For the 27 million people who are losing, plus they have other issues. They have existing situations. For 27 million people who are losing their job-based coverage, about 80% do have other options. Roughly half are eligible for Medicaid and or the Children's Health Insurance Program. Another third are eligible for subsidized health plans. The remaining 20% are pretty much out of luck because they live in a state that didn't expand Medicaid or are ineligible for other kinds of subsidized coverage. You know, that's a lot of people, 27 million people who lost their job-based health coverage. So I don't know how all that's going to work out, Dave, but it's just another problem that will be needing to be addressed. And we need to address that we are out of time, and we will be back tomorrow. So I want to say have a great evening, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye!
That's too bad.